Let's turn together now in the Word of God to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. This is God's holy word. Listen to it. Of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we pray that the same Spirit who is at work in us to cleanse us of sin, give us a new heart, that he might also illumine us this night as we consider this portion of your word. The same Spirit who inspired David to write, may he be at work in us that we might hear what the Spirit has spoken, what you are speaking through David, and hear it and believe it and be transformed by it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 144, the psalmist, David, proclaims that nothing less than the coming of God from on high, from heaven. Nothing less than the coming of God from on high, from glory, is sufficient to save and bring blessing to those who trust in his steadfast love and who flee to him for refuge. In Psalm 144, David is declaring that he does not look ultimately for God's merciful providence. He does not look ultimately at man, and for his deliverance, for what is man, which you regard him, his life is like a passing shadow. Rather, he looks for God's own supernatural coming. God's own presence from on high to deliver him. This psalm, Psalm 144, instructs us to consider the true origin and source and method of our salvation and of blessing, the means by which God saves and blesses his people. And again, in a nutshell, the means by which God saves and blesses his people is not through man, nor is it even through God's providential care, but through the supernatural coming of God himself. Let's look closer at the song. Again, in Psalm 144, we hear David singing his prayer unto God for salvation from his enemies. Enemies whom David here twice refers to as foreigners. Now, put this in context, we can envision the numerous times in the history of David's reign when Israel was threatened by hostile nations, both within and outside of the borders of Canaan. David speaks of those enemies that are not of Israel, those enemies that are not of God's covenant people, those who are out there worshiping false gods, worshiping idols, those enemies by whom many in Israel were not only killed as these nations came in and ravaged and destroyed, but oftentimes it was by these nations around Israel that many in Israel were led astray into idolatry and immorality. In any case, whether it was by the sword of the enemy, the foreigner, or whether it was by the temptations offered by the enemy, these enemies were greater and more powerful than David and the rest of God's covenant people. For David sings here in this psalm not only for himself as the king, but as we can see clearly enough towards the end of this psalm, he sings for all of Israel. He sings for all of those people whom he represents as the king. He is acknowledging in this psalm that man, his life is like a breath. Man, his days are like a passing shadow. Israel, David, standing against these enemies, what are they? How can they stand? How could they overcome with such enemies as these that surround Israel, who come in, whether by sword or by temptation, and destroy? And he looks to God alone for salvation. There's one theme in this psalm, though, that really kind of stands out, and I want you to also kind of see it. There's an emphasis in Psalm 144, even as I read it, you might have heard it on hands. Did you hear that as we read Psalm 144 tonight? Notice at the very beginning, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle." He talks about his hands and how they've been trained by God. But then he goes on in verse 7, and he prays that the Lord would deliver him, he says, from the hand of foreigners. And again in verse 8, of the same foreigners, he says, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And he repeats this again in verse 11. This ought to open us our ears when you have a repetition of almost an identical statement, an identical sentence or clause. Verse 11, he repeats it again. Rescue me and deliver me from the right hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. See how many times he's repeating that? Right hand, right hand, right hand. The emphasis that David is placing here on the right hand of his enemies is instructive. It's important. In the Bible, you see, the right hand is very significant. The right hand is the hand of blessing. Nothing against you left-handers, but that's how you have it in the Bible. The right hand is the hand of blessing. We see this, if you remember, clearly when Israel, Jacob, when he was going to bless his son, his grandsons, remember what he did? When his grandsons were presented to him, and the older was put on his right and the younger on his left, remember what he did? He crossed his hands so that his right hand was put on the head of the younger and his left on the head of the older. He wanted the right hand to come upon Ephraim rather than the older, Manasseh. It says in Genesis 48:14, Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So the right hand is the hand of blessing, not the left. Or at least the right hand is the hand of ultimate blessing, not the left. For Manasseh was also blessed, but the right hand carried the significant, weighty blessing. So we hear when David is calling upon the Lord to save him from the right hand of his enemies, and then speaks, notice, of their right hand being a right hand of falsehood. Something more is going on here than he's merely saying, deliver me from the strong side, the strong arm of my enemies. That's true too, but he's saying more. He's saying ultimately that these foreigners, these enemies, one of the ways they come at us, one of the ways they destroy us, is they offer their right hand as though in peace and fellowship with the promise of blessing. But David knows from experience that it is a lie. The enemies are not stretching out their right hands to bless God's people, but to kill them. Makes me think of a mixed martial arts fight I watched one night. These two fighters were coming together at the beginning of the first round. The ref had already told them to fight. All the preliminaries were over and they were going to come at it. But just before the first punch was thrown, one of the fighters just kind of stopped and held out his hand to the other, like he wanted to shake hands before the fight really got started. The other fighter, thinking that the guy was just being friendly, dropped his hands, put out his to shake, to accept the handshake. You could probably guess what happened next. The guy who originally held out his right hand was just faking. Because instead of shaking hands, he punched the other unsuspecting guy now in the face and knocked him out. That's the kind of right hand of friendship and blessing that David says his enemies are offering him. That's the right hand of falsehood that they're offering him. There is no friendship in that right hand. There is no blessing in that right hand. There is only falsehood. There is only death in that right hand. David's enemies come as though they wanted to make a treaty with him, as though they want to join forces with him, perhaps, or provide each other with goods and services that would be a mutual benefit. But in fact, David understands they only want to catch him off guard and destroy him. Whether they come with a sword or whether they come with the right hand of friendship to make a treaty, David knows ultimately it will destroy us. They are like their father, the devil, the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. And we should keep this well in mind, people of God. The world, those who are not of God, those who are not in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, they don't come at us always honestly. And by that I mean they don't come with the hatred and the desire to destroy that is really there. But often it comes to us as a friend. Comes as though they had our best interests in mind. And maybe in their own thinking, in their own hearts, they're not coming thinking they're going to destroy you, that they want to hurt you, they want to harm you. But not everyone who offers the right hand of friendship is going to bless you. Temptations never come telling you that they're going to destroy you. The devil can appear as an angel of light. The world pretends that this is the best you can have. This is the best you can get. Your own sinful nature is deceptive, tricking you into thinking that it won't hurt you to engage in this or that little sin, to give yourself over to this or that little temptation. But know for certain, Church of Christ, the right hand of friendship with the world beginning of it might taste sweet, but the end is like the poison of a viper. This is why the New Testament warns, admonishes God's people not to unequally yoke themselves with outsiders. That is to say, those who do not believe. It's not to say you can't befriend your neighbors or your co-workers or your classmates, but it is to say that bond of friendship and fellowship, be careful. Be very careful with that. So David speaks then of the right hand of the enemy. But David also speaks in this psalm of the right hand of the Lord God. Verse 7. Stretch out your right hand from on high. Rescue me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners. And he says in verse 5, using hand imagery, touch the mountains so that they smoke. The Lord God's right hand is the hand of power, the hand of salvation, and the hand of blessing for his people. We hear it being the hand of power and of salvation all the way back in the time of Moses, Exodus 15:6. Moses saying after they had come through the Red Sea, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. The right hand in Scripture is the hand that strikes down the enemy. You remember Jael in Judges 5:26, struck down Sisera. It says she sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. David looks to the Lord for refuge. And specifically, in contrast to the right hand of the enemy, he looks to the right hand of the Lord for salvation and blessing. Whereas the enemies offer blessing but really mean to kill, the right hand of the Lord is not the hand of a stranger. It's not the hand of a foreigner, one who cares nothing for the psalmist, but one whose right hand is from on high, full of power, and blesses those for whom he reaches it out to save. David trusts not in man, again, especially not in the right hand of foreigners, those who do not walk with the Lord. David trusts only in the Lord. And he understands and by faith prays that the Lord would reveal his right hand from on high. That is to say, that the Lord, God, would come down and with his own hand save his servant from the hand of his enemy and bless his servant. David is praying for nothing less than the end of the world appearance of God to come and to save and to bless. You hear that end of the world imagery. David's looking forward to God coming at the end of the world, delivering him from all of his enemies and blessing him with end of the world blessings. And you hear it, verses 5 through 7. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. David speaks of the coming of God as at the time of the Exodus, when God met with his people at Sinai after he had destroyed Israel's enemies in the many waters of the Red Sea. David is here using that kind of imagery, that Exodus imagery and language, because he understands that like that, when God came down and did that, so that's what God would need to do again for him, so that he might be saved from his enemies. Only the coming down of God himself from on high, only the right hand of power and of salvation and of blessing will be sufficient to deliver him and to bring him into blessing. Only the coming of God from on high in the glory and power and blessing of his kingdom can bring everlasting salvation from enemies and everlasting blessing for all of the generations of God's people. This is why David speaks the way he does at the end of this psalm in verses 12 through 15 of the blessing, of the blessed estate that the coming of God from on high would bring his people into. He speaks of full-grown plants, of young men as being like full-grown plants in the vineyard of the Lord God. He speaks of the daughters of Israel as being pillars cut for the structure of God's own palace, royal. He speaks of full granaries and an abundance of cattle and livestock in the fields, cattle heavy with young, with no chance of miscarriage. He speaks of peace, no bloodshed, peace in the streets of this kingdom of blessing. That language at the end of Psalm 144 is kingdom of God language. David is describing then the blessing that comes upon God's people, that falls upon them from above, in the language of kingdom. He says, God, come from on high. Save me, rescue me with your right hand. Come and bless. And when God does, David understands, when God comes in his kingdom, in his power, in his blessing, when he comes down, the enemy is utterly destroyed, and that era of the perfect peace of the kingdom of God dawns. In this kingdom of God, the way David strives to describe it at the end, he uses the best language, the best imagery he can imagine, looking at the greatest kingdoms of this world, but still he knows it's going to be better. It's going to be a glorious kingdom, more glorious than these earthly images can even capture. It will be like the greatest peace and abundance of the greatest kingdoms that ever existed, only better because this kingdom, like the salvation and like the blessing, comes from on high, comes from God's own right hand. On that day, when God does come from on high, when God reveals his right hand of power, of salvation, and of blessing, David says, he promises, he vows, that he will sing a new song. Verse 9. He will sing a new song in commemoration of this new day, this kingdom, this everlasting salvation and blessing that God brought, or will bring, when his right hand is revealed. That's Psalm 144. But people of God, I can confidently and joyfully proclaim to you this evening that David's prayer has been answered. Psalm 144 has been answered. God's right hand, God's power and salvation from all of our enemies, God's everlasting kingdom of peace and blessing has been revealed in these last days in Jesus Christ. The new day has begun. And with it, as we even heard this morning from Mary, a new song is being sung. And she sung in the past tense again, remember? A new song, a song of fulfillment, a song of triumph, a song of God's having overcome and have ushered in the blessings of his kingdom. The new song has begun to be sung. The followers of the Son of God. Yahweh's right hand is the right hand of power, the right hand of salvation, the right hand of blessing. It is, in Scripture, the side, the hand at which the Son of God sits and from which he reigns, from which he has come to save, to deliver, to overthrow his and our enemies, and to bless. As we read several places in the New Testament, and you could see them in your insert tonight, like Acts 2:33 through 35, B being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Romans 8:34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Ephesians 1, verse 19 and following, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this is why, too, we as followers of Christ are exhorted in Scripture. Ephesians 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. I could read more and more of these, but again, they're there in your insert. The point of it all is God's right hand has been revealed in these last days. What David said in Psalm 144, that nothing less than the coming of God from on high, nothing less than the personal coming down of God from on high would save, would deliver from the enemy, and would bring the blessing of the kingdom of God to light. And in these last days, that one who is the right hand of God's power, even the Son himself, has appeared for our salvation, for our deliverance, and to bless us in the Spirit of God with the blessings of the kingdom of God. He has brought it to pass. It has begun in him. For this reason, again, as Paul exhorted us at the beginning of Ephesians 3, look to that right hand. That right hand that has reached out to you in true fellowship, in true friendship, salvation and blessing. Not to the right hand of the world. Not to the right hand of those who would lead you down another path. A path of destruction. The path that they're on, even though they may not know it. Look to his right hand. For his hand is the salvation and blessing of Christ. Given to you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, your right hand truly is the hand of power, the hand of salvation, and the hand of blessing. And you have revealed your right hand. In these last days, you have personally come from on high, stretching forth your right hand, even the Son of God. So, and we, through him, have been delivered. We have been brought through the many waters. Help us, Lord God, not to trust in man, not to trust in our own strength, and not to look to the world for salvation or for blessing, for they offer ultimately only death. Help us look, Lord God, to you, to the fulfillment, the reality that you have come from on high to save us. You've called us to put our trust in you and seek then those things that are above. Help us, Lord God, help us to do this. Help us to walk confidently in this victory that Christ has won, in this blessing that he has secured for us, in the kingdom of which we have become citizens through him. We pray this in his name. Amen.